you've been going through, I know that God has been good to you. Brother Steve, in spite of the challenges that you've been going through, God has been good to you. Amen. I am so excited this morning because of what the Lord has done. Amen. We want to conclude on what we've been talking about, the fruit. Remember, we started by, I don't want to go back because there's so many things that we've talked about as being productive. And we declared in the beginning that this is going to be the year of productivity. We have to be progressive in all that we do. And if God thinks that we ought to be progressive, guess what? Who should counter that? The Lord has been faithful to all of us. He has given us 2015. And I believe that if we are keen to what the Lord is speaking to us, then we shall be men and women who bear fruits of righteousness, the fruit of the Spirit will develop it. And we'll be able to allow the Spirit of the Lord to work in us so that we can bear the fruit of the Spirit. Now, remember what we said, we have talked about that none of these traits that we've been talking about, the fruits of the Spirit, and I think I'm going to use this mic. I think that's why Sister Lorraine is doing that right now. The aspect or the virtue of the fruit of the Spirit is not does not naturally develop in us. Amen. But this is the work of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit was introduced into us, when we received Jesus, guess what? He started some work on the inside. And whether you may not really feel that there's some work that goes on in your heart, believers, my fellow brothers and sisters, there's some work that is taking place in your heart. There is some construction taking place in your spirit. Amen. There's some knocking down, even though they are not audible. There are some knocking down of some things, some corners that are being demolished, and there are some detours that are being created. And the work of the Spirit is being carried on in your heart. Amen. And these are the things that is developing in you. He has put joy. He has put love. We have talked about peace. We have talked about patience. We talked about kindness. We talked about goodness. And today we are going to talk about faithfulness. And we are going to talk about faithfulness. We're going to talk about meekness. And we talked about temperance. Amen. We're going to talk about temperance. And then we're going to go to John 15. Just read a few verses. And we are going to conclude. Praise be to God. We talked about last Sunday that the first few virtue of the Spirit of the Lord, which is love, joy, and peace. And we talked about that the kingdom of God is a scripture that says righteousness, peace, and joy. That this is the kingdom of God is made of righteousness, peace, and joy. And so when we're introduced into the love, the joy, and the peace that surpasses all understanding, the peace that we've received from the Lord is peace that is never given by the world. The world gives peace, but the peace that the world gives is temporal. It can give you peace, but that peace is not long lasting. But the peace that we receive from the Lord is peace that surpasses human understanding. Praise the Lord. And so he introduces us to love. And we talked about love. We talked about the love that we have received. We talked about 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. We talked about the Word of God being love himself. And he has expressed himself as says, expressing about love as the greatest commandment that there is. You know, it kind of like summarizes all the commandments that there are. So anyway, we are not going to talk about that because we talked about it last week. And we talked about that when you have love and when you have joy and you have peace, you now become an enemy of the devil. And so there are many people who are going to come and challenge you. There are many people who are going to come and challenge your faith. There are many people who are going to come and challenge the love that God has put in your heart. And guess what? The Spirit of God is so wise, and he is developing these virtues like kindness and goodness and faith. And so when somebody comes to challenge your faith, you know, let me tell you, I've been so really taken by surprise, or rather, I mean, it really mesmerizes me to see how people can go to such an extent, even killing other people because of their faith, because of what they believe in. See what is happening in the Middle East. People who are beheading other people for the sake of their religion, for the sake of what they believe. Amen? It kind of like puts me on a box, and I'm left asking so many questions. Am I really willing to contend for my faith, the faith that I've received from the Lord, just as these Islamic people contend for their faith? And so the Holy Spirit is so gentle and is so wise in his working these virtues in our hearts. And he knows that your faith is going to be challenged. And so he develops kindness and goodness so that when somebody comes to contend or to challenge your faith, or maybe wants to blaspheme the Lord that dwells in you, all you have to smack them with is kindness. Amen? You smack them with goodness. You smack them with a peace. You tell them, hey, you know what? I will treat you well because of the one who lives in me. So Jesus, through the power, the life-giving, his life-giving spirit, is at work in our lives. At this point, I'm reminded of a story that I had Bishop Long. You remember Bishop Long in Atlanta? He was giving a story, and actually I was thinking about that story while I was preparing this message of one guy who was a murderer. You know, he used to kill people. You know, his mission was to just kill people. And one time the Lord saved him. And as, you know, he was saved, he used to come to the church and, you know, he used to come and attend the services. But one time there was this guy who really crossed his path. And you know what he did? He broke his neck. And so he was being asked, you know, why did you break the neck now that you're born again? And this is what he said. You know what? If it was 2 years ago, I would have shot him. But you know what? God is working in me. That's why I broke his neck, because God is helping me. And I thought that was very funny. In other words, God is working some things in us. We are not done. You know, there's no way we are going to say that, you know what? I am fully accomplished. God is still working some things in us. There are some times, you know, where you're going to feel like you're slipping back to your old ways. But no. You need to know that there is progress in the inside, even though you may not really be able to measure it physically. So there's something that God is doing in your heart, and it is important for us to allow the Holy Spirit to do this work that he's doing in us so that we can be accomplished. The ultimate goal of the Lord concerning us is that we may be mature and lacking nothing, so that even as we go to the mission field, when we respond to the call of ministry, we are able to adjudicate that which he has put in us faithfully, as equipped children, sons and daughters of the kingdom. Praise be to God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. We also talked about long-suffering, kindness. We talked about goodness. And today, we are going to talk about faithfulness as a virtue of the fruit of the Spirit. Now, faithfulness, when we talk about faithfulness, this is not the faith that is being talked in Hebrews chapter number 11. Now, faith is the substance of, what does it say? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That is not the faith that is being talked here by Paul or the writer of Galatians. I believe Paul was writing to the Galatians, but he's talking about our faithfulness. Faithfulness to the things that the Lord has called us to do. Praise the Lord. Being faithful, God, the Spirit of the Lord is developing faithfulness in us. And each one of us ought to acknowledge that you have a purpose here on earth. And once you encounter that purpose, the Lord expects us to be faithful. But we are not going to be faithful out of our own ability. We may try to serve God with our strength, but many times we try to serve God and we try to do the things of the Lord by our own strength. You know, we grow weary. The Lord knows that we can grow weary very easily. But you see, the Holy Spirit also works faithfulness as a virtue in us. Amen? And so when you know that he is working out faithfulness in us, it is our duty to respond to the work that he is doing, because the expression of his work on, you know, on his on his working faithfulness in us, the expression of it, or the rather the way we respond to it, is being faithful to the call that we have received from the Lord. Amen. And for example, we can give many, many examples. Like here in the church, we have divided ourselves into groups of what we call the 12 tribes of Israel. And each group is responsible to cook tea and to clean up the church and to do the things that you know that we all do. And sometimes, you know, we find people may come here, and sometimes you may not have the members of your team, and you might be all alone, and you might be the one cooking tea, and you might be the one who is supposed to clean up the church, and you might be the one doing all the things that you're supposed to do. Now, faithfulness, when you have faithfulness, you're not doing this to please anybody, but you're doing this to please the Lord. Amen? So whatever we do, whether it is prayer, whether it is reading the word, whether it is our response to the call that God has placed in us, the Lord is, through his spirit, has worked out the virtue of faithfulness so that we may be faithful in all that we do. God is looking for faithful sons and daughters to accomplish his purpose here on earth. Amen? It is a wonderful thing when somebody just comes, when I give somebody a responsibility and they act on it, and I don't have to follow on them or to come behind them to see whether they are doing it. And it is a beautiful experience or a beautiful experience to just witness this person just doing it with the whole of their heart. Amen? So whatever God has placed you to do, whether you've been called to be the custodian of the finances, whether you've been called to be the custodian or to be a leader of whatever department, whether you're a Sunday school teacher, whether God has called you to be the leader of men, whether God has called you to be the leader of the women, whether God has put you, wherever God places you, there is no work that is insignificant before the Lord. Amen? And the Bible, we look at the body, and we look at the organs of the body, and we look at the members of the body. And when you begin to analyze the functions of each and every member, there are functions in our own eyes that look like they are, you know, not really, really essential. You know, and while we might examine on this in that same stance, there are some functions that some of our members perform that when you think about what they do, they wow you. Like, for example, when you think about what the brain does, you compare what the brain does and what your toe, you know, just your toe does. There's no comparison. Is that not true? When you think of what your brain does, you know, doing all these functions and coordinating your involuntary and voluntary functions of your body, that, you know, the heart is pumping and is being monitored, closely monitored by your brain and your movement and your motor skills and your balance. You know, without your brain, you know, some of you would go like you're drunk. Have you ever seen people who are drunk? I think they have intoxicated some parts of their brain, and that's why when they are walking staggering. Why? The brain is not performing at its level best. So you can imagine there are functions that each and every member does. But in the Lord, whether God has called you to be a foot, whether God has called you to be a part that you have never seen, you know, I have members of my body that I will die. I'll leave this world without. I'll leave this world having not seen them. I don't think I'll ever see my heart, even though when I touch on my left side of my body, on my chest, I can hear, you know, it is pumping blood, pumping blood, pumping blood. Yet I will never set my eyes on it. Yet the fact that I'll never set my eyes on it, it doesn't mean that it is insignificant. There are members of your body that you'll never see. But that doesn't mean that they're insignificant. So in the Lord, whatever God calls you to be content with it. Amen? And do it like you have been given that talent by the Lord. Amen? You remember the parable of the talents? There are people who are given five. There are some who are given two. I believe there are some who are given quite a number. And when the Lord went back and left them with those talents, and he came back, he found that those that he had given, they had multiplied their talents. In other words, they had developed their talents. They had invested on their talents. Amen? But there was only one person. The person was given one talent. He said, you know what? I thought you were just an unfair servant, so I just decided to hide my talent under here. Because, you know, you are, when I thought about it, you are a guy who wants to sow where you do not. You know, you want to reap where you didn't, you never sowed. So I just decided to hide it. And when you come back, I'll just give it to you. And you know what happened? I'm just paraphrasing. And he said, he snatched the one talent and he gave to the one that had five. Amen? Why do you think he did that? Because that talent was supposed to be put into an investment. God expects us to put what he has given us to invest whatever he has given us. If God has called you to be an encourager, God wants you to create, grow, progress, encourage as many people as he has called. If God has called you to be a singer, sing like you have never sung. Amen? If God has called you to come and clean the church, come here early, clean the church without expecting anybody to pat you on the back. Amen? Faithfulness. That is the virtue of the Spirit. And he is developing that in us. Amen? When God calls us to be faithful in our tithes and offerings. Amen? God expects us to be faithful in our tithes and offerings. The Bible says, do not come into the house of the Lord empty-handed. Hello? Are we all together? See, I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about how when we talk about money, and by the way, I'm going to talk about money in the next few weeks. If you know what money is, and if you know what it means to give an offering to the Lord, you will never come to the church or to the house of the Lord empty-handed. You will never think about money the way you think about it. Now, think about the pay that you get. You go to work every Monday through Friday. What do you get at the end of the week? You get a paycheck, right? But if we are to examine closely, what is that paycheck that you get? It is the focus, the discipline of waking up every Monday morning, every day going to work without fail. Huh? Your life. When you are there in that place of work where you are working, whether you are driving a truck, whether you are taking care of a patient, whether you are a nurse, you know, treating people and taking care of their health, guess what? You are exchanging your life, or rather you are expending your life in that place, your company, for 5 days, 8 hours every day. It is your life, a portion of your life that you're giving in exchange to what you will receive. Are we together? So when you get that paycheck and it is written $1,000, or it's written $700, or it's written however amount that they write at the end of the week, which is your pay, that money represents the life that you gave to that company. It all involves your waking up early. It all involves your walking around. Maybe you walk about 10 kilometers in that office. It all involves the sweet words that you speak to those patients. It all involves the passion and the focus that you give to that work. It all involves all those things. It is not just a paycheck. It involves the sacrifice that the sacrifice that you gave, left your children, and you left them maybe for somebody to pick them up, and even for care to be provided to your children. It is all those things. When you get that paycheck, actually, the first thing you need to thank God, you need to kneel down maybe. Or maybe before even you put the key in your car, once you get that paycheck, you tell, Lord, thank you. For in return to what I've given, this is my life. Are you listening to me? Amen? It is your life. It is an exchange of everything that relates to all those things that you go through in your place of work. You know, the challenges, the deadlines that you have to meet, it is all in that paycheck. And so what God is telling you, that he wants you to be faithful in your tithes and offerings. Literally, it is not just being faithful in the money that you get. It is being faithful in your life. In exchange to all those things that you completely have given yourself to your company, so that in return they can give you a paycheck. And think about this, that God is asking a portion of your life. This week he tells you, I need a tenth of all that focus. I need a tenth of all that sacrifice. I need a tenth of all those challenges that you went through. I need a tenth of everything that you encountered. I need a tenth of every deadline that you had to meet. And I'm the one who gave you the strength even to meet that deadline. I need a tenth of all these things. And he says, when I see that, I see a portion of your life in it. And I'm saying, and he says, in fact, if you read in the book of Malachi 3:10, it says, if you test me in this, if you test me in the way you have given me a portion of your life, if you test me in the way you surrendered your sacrifice, the focus and the things that you went through, the challenges that you encountered that week, that you are almost knocked down by a truck, but I protected you. If you can give me just a portion of that, I will open up the floodgates of heaven and send out a blessing that you'll not be able to withhold. Amen? If you understand what that money means, stop looking at it as just money that you're giving to a church. Amen? Look at it at an exchange of the things that you encountered throughout the week. And you're telling the Lord, Lord, this is a tenth of any challenge. Do you think, let me ask you a question. Do you think that if you can give God a tenth of all those challenges, that your life would not be well with you? I'm asking you a question. I'm asking us a question. Do you think that when we exchange all those things that relate to that paycheck, that God is not going to take care of the problems that we encountered even in that office that week? He will. Because you have surrendered those to Him. Amen? And that's why God tells you that the Spirit of God is working out that virtue of faithfulness so that you can exude it and express it in every, it should be all rounded in our prayer walk with God, in our reading the word, in our praying for our other brothers and sisters, in taking care of them and expressing your love for them. God wants us to be faithful. Are you looking at it another way now? Amen. Please stop looking at it at, okay, now I got this $500 and I have like $300 that I have to pay electricity. I have the water bill came to about $80 and my gas for this week is going to be about maybe $60. And when you calculate like that, your paycheck actually exceeds. In other words, the revenue outweighs there. And so when you have those physical needs, you say, now, you see, God, you understand. You know, my needs are really over. They are really, this balance is not coming. But you know what? IRS is very smart. They know that if they are to let you pay them fast, they are not going to do it. So they tell the employer, before they take care of their expenses, please remove my tax from there, right? Huh? You know, if the IRS tax was not supposed to be there, how much you'd be getting? If they withhold maybe like $60 tax, you'd be saying, you know, I got $800, right? And that's a good paycheck, right? But because IRS took $60, you say, oh, I got $740. And you have been, all this time you've been content with $740. You don't even say you normally get $800. You normally tell people, oh, my pay is 740. I'm doing well. 740. But literally, and to be honest with you, you are entitled to get $800. That is supposed to be your pay. But the government already took their portion. Thank God that Jesus said, give to Caesar what belongs to, and to God what belongs to. So give God what belongs to God. Let me tell you, as we also focus even in 2015, let us examine our giving style to the Lord. And I'll be speaking with, you know, this even as we continue, because I believe this is part of our development and why we suffer. Because we are, you know, they did a statistics the other day. Well, not long time, but not the other day, because I think this was a statistics done, you know, in the church. But they say only 20% of the people in the church pay their tithes and offerings. Can you imagine? 20%. So 20%, so you count 1, 2, 3, 4, faithful. So thief, faithful, thief, faithful. Jambazi, mukora, mwizi. 20%. That's what they say. Think about it. If we are faithful in our tithes and offerings, the Bible says, bring the full 10%. I like that. What translation is that? Bring the full 10% into the storehouses so that there may be food in my house. Test me in this. In this way, says the Lord of hosts, see if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing for you without measure. Amen. See, the thing is, sometimes we are looking at the flood. Can you go back? Go back there, Sister Lorraine. Bring all the tithes into the, this way, says the Lord of hosts, see if I'll not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing. This word blessing, you see this word here? We confuse the blessing with money. Sometimes the Lord may not really literally give you finances. He may literally give you, bless you with blessings. But blessings can come in many forms. Do you want to hear these blessings? Health. Your car not breaking down. Right? A pipe bursting in your house. Out of the blues, this pipe just burst, you know, and there's flooding. Huh? And the Bible says, I don't know whether this is on the verse number 11. I don't even know why I talked about this. It says that I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not ruin your produce of your ground. So that means there are some devourers that can only be rebuked by your faithfulness. Are you listening to me? Oh, can you respond, please? You still love me? I know money issues are very tight when we talk about money issues. But I told you, do not look money at the way you look at it. Look at it at an exchange of your life. So the Bible says, I will rebuke the devourer. So that means there'll be a devourer that might be creeping in your family finances or the things that you may have. But he says, I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not ruin your produce of your ground and your vine in your field. It will not be barren, says the Lord of hosts. So if God says that he will rebuke the devourer out of our faithfulness, so there are some devourers that no matter how you say, in the name of Jesus, go. In the name of Jesus, go. In the name of Jesus, go. Even if you tap your foot 10 times or jump 3 times and skip, those devourers will never go. Are we together? Until your faithfulness of giving the 10% comes in. So you can rebuke your devourer out of your faithfulness to give to the Lord. Amen? And this is just one area that I'm talking about. Many, many other areas that the Lord requires our faithfulness to come through. Okay, I don't want to dwell on that much because I know in some time we'll be speaking about that so that we can, the Lord can help us in that area. Meekness. Now, I love meekness. And you may really be interested also with this. Now, this is what somebody defined meekness to be. Meekness is a submissiveness of spirit which does not lift itself up against oppositions but bends like a reed before the storm. Amen? I'll repeat again. Meekness is a submissiveness of the spirit which does not lift itself up against oppositions but bends like a reed before the storm. When you are a child of God, expect opposition. Somebody say amen. When you are a child of God, there will be challenges. When you are a child of God, there will be war coming, being perpetrated against you as a child of God. Remember when Jesus was going up to heaven, he told them that do not be frustrated when they come against you, but because they are coming against you because of I who reside in your heart. The challenges that you meet, the warfare that you encounter, you would otherwise not encounter that warfare if Christ was not in your heart. Somebody say amen. So do not be frustrated when people are coming up against you. You never did them anything, but they just thought, you know, to frustrate you. You know, you are in a place of work and you see other people being elevated, but you don't know why in the world they just hate you and they don't want to promote you. You know, it is because of Christ who dwells in your life. And Jesus said, do not be frustrated. Amen? Many are the afflictions of the saints. Is that not what the Bible says? Many are the afflictions of the saints, but the Lord delivers them in all of them. Brothers and sisters, listen to me. Whenever frustrations come, whenever challenges come, they come to you because there is greater in you that is in your heart that is than him that is in the world. It is him that they are targeting. And you know what, child of God, listen to me. Not everybody is called for your rising up and fighting against it. In other words, God does not expect you to fight every battle. Somebody say amen. Some battles are just there. You stand and see the salvation of God. There is this king that they called Jehoshaphat. You remember Jehoshaphat? The Bible says that he was surrounded by some Midianites, and he was surrounded all around him. He was surrounded, and he sought to the face of the Lord. And when he cried unto the Lord, the Bible says that they called on for a fast, and he called on some singers to sing, and he told King Jehoshaphat, stand still. I hear the Spirit of God speaking to me and to tell you that stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. God does not expect you to fight every battle. There are some things that will just come and say, so what? It cannot terminate me. It cannot eliminate me from this world, because there's greater that is in me, that in my heart, than him that is in the world. Amen? Greater is he that is in me than him that is in the world. Hallelujah. Meekness is a virtue of the Spirit. Now listen to this story. I read these stories. And as I was researching, and this will make you understand what meekness is. Are you ready? Can I read to you? Well, this is the tree and the reed. The tree and the reed. R-E-E-D. Well, this is what the story begins by saying. Well, little one, said a tree to a reed that was growing at its root. Why do you plant your feet deeply in the ground? This is the reed now addressing the reed. You'll get the story. Why do you not plant your feet deeply into the ground and raise your head boldly in the air as I do? Now, this is the tree speaking to the reed. Well, I'm contented with my lot, said the reed. I may not be so grand, but I think I'm safer. Safe? Sneered the tree. Who shall pluck me up by the roots or bow my head to the ground? But it is soon hard to repent of its boasting, for a hurricane arose which tore it up from its roots and cast it a useless log on the ground, while the little reed, bending to the force of the wind, soon stood upright again when the storm had passed over. Obscurity often brings safety. Okay? Now, if you didn't understand that one, let me read the second one. A violent storm uprooted an oak that grew on the bank of a river. The oak drifted across the stream and lodged among some reeds. Wondering to find these still standing, he could not help asking them how it was they had escaped the fury of a storm which had torn him up by the roots. Well, said these reeds, we bent our heads to the blast, they said, and it passed over us. You stood stiff and stubborn till you could stand on it any longer. Did you get the story? So meekness is that which the Spirit gives you. He gives you a discerning spirit. Ask the Spirit of the Lord to give you a discerning spirit. This opposition that has come towards me right now, am I supposed to encounter it? There are some oppositions. There are some afflictions. There are some challenges, child of God, that you may not have to fight. And all you have to do is bend. And as you bend, that storm will pass. And as the storm passes, once the storm passes, you can lift up your hand and shout a big hallelujah. Are you listening to me? This is the spirit. I believe this is the situation that King Jehoshaphat was under, where you let the supernatural take over in your life. Did you know there are some things that we may not have the ability to do? Are you listening to me, children of God? There are some things that we, however hard we may try, we are frustrated and we come to the end of ourselves. And you know, when you come to your 11th hour, that is when God sees that you are frustrated, when God sees that you are facing, you are hit against the rock and a hard place, and you cannot wink, you cannot even move to your right, and you cannot look to your left, that is when he takes over. That is what is called meekness. Knowing that this is a challenge. And I'm not going to take my weapons of war and challenge this thing, because it can eliminate you yourself. But knowing what battles to fight. Amen. Meekness teaches you what battles to fight. Amen. There are many things that are going to come against a child of the Lord. And if the Spirit of God has not equipped us, meekness, temperance against us. And it says the Spirit of God knows that there's going to be many challenges when you declare yourself as a child of God. Amen? They are going to come like a big flood. They're going to come like a big, great inundation that wants to eliminate you from the face of the earth. And that's why the Spirit of God gives you all this virtues of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit, working them in you. You're not supposed to fight every battle. Turn to your neighbor, tell them, do not fight every battle. Some battle, listen to me, yes, some battle, you're just about to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Amen? Are you listening to me? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Just the other day, after I came from Africa, I met very many challenges here. You know, if I told you exactly what I went through. But it got to a point whereby I said, okay, this is something that happened. There's very little that I can do about it. I was worried. And I was wondering, where am I going to get all this money to pay these obligations that have come to me as a result of things that I never did or never took care of long time ago? But let me tell you, God is faithful. I went to the Lord and I was watching. I remember I was watching a TV station. I can't remember which is God TV, there was this preacher that was talking about prayer, how he is moving from one corner to another, and I believe the moderator of that program was Jesse Duplantis, and he said a word that helped me. I was in the valley whereby I didn't know what decision to make. I didn't know how to go forward, because when I looked on my right, when I looked on my left, when I looked ahead of me, there was just giants that I was facing. And this is what Jesse Duplantis said to this man. He said, sometimes as a child of God, you may have to make a decision in prayer. Are you listening to me? You may have been called, you may be called to make a decision in prayer and tell God, I may not really be sure that I'm making this decision the right way, but Lord, I'm making this decision. I'm asking you, Lord, back up this decision. Let me tell you, I thought that was the Spirit of God spoke to me, because when he spoke that word, I said, that is my word. That is my word. And let me tell you, from that, the next day, I made a decision and I said, this is the way I'm going to go. It doesn't matter whether I'm going straight through the giant's eyes, I am still going to go forward through him. And let me tell you, and I told the Lord, Lord, I've prayed and I've sought your face concerning this issue. Lord, now, pack it up. Let me tell you, within 1 week, the things that were worrying me, every bill that was supposed to be taken care of, in fact, as a matter of fact, was taken, the last part of the bill was taken care of this last Thursday that I'm talking about, and I never paid even a single cent. So why am I talking about these things? I'm talking about these things because there's sometimes the enemy will bring things towards you back to back. And when you look at the enormity of the things that are coming towards you, I am telling you the truth, you feel like you're paralyzed. You cannot even do anything. But I've learned one thing, and this is the way going forward now for me. I will say, Lord, I may not have heard your voice, but I know what the word of God says. I will stand in you, O Lord. And you have said that you will never leave me nor desert me. This fight, I'm not fighting it. Lord, I'm making the decision to go forward. Therefore, Lord, back it up. And let me tell you, when you tell the Lord that way, he will back up whatever you decide to do. Amen? If it crumbles, you will tell him, Lord, I involved you in this. If it crumbles, I am crumbling, holding your leg or your body or your shirt or the hem of your garment or something. But I involved you. I told you, back up my decision. Are you listening to me? May the Lord help us and give us discernment in how we ought to proceed in challenges that we meet every day. Some of the challenges come, let me tell you, some of the challenges you will know, even in your mind, that this challenge has come to me because I'm a child of God. And if this challenge has come to me because of him that dwells in me, then he needs to arise in me and fight on my behalf. And that is what he's going to do when we involve him. Now, it is not easily said than done. So don't look at me like I have 100% solutions. It is the Spirit of God who ought to give us discernment. Amen? Some challenges are going to be done like that. Some challenges maybe are going to, you may need to be on your knees longer. There are some challenges that you just need to address them right there and then. Do you know there are some challenges you don't have to pray and fast? You tell them, devil, I cancel this plan right now and I'm not thinking about it again. And I'm forgetting, I'm putting it in my back burner. And you let the Lord fight it for you. What can you do? I mean, with your limited strength, what you cannot do, you cannot manipulate the government. You cannot manipulate the state agencies. You cannot manipulate things. Do you think you can manipulate the U.S. government and its regulation? They're called, when you see anything written CFR, you need to run. CFR, they're called Codes of Federal Regulations. This government don't play. And if we do not invoke the power of God, you know, in the Department of Transportation, they have the code of, they say the code of federal, Jimmy, you know this, CFR 49. You need to know it. If you're in that business, you need to know it really well. Because if you tell them, oh, I was not aware, they will sell you. What do they say? Something of the law is not an excuse. What do they say? Ignore. Thank you, Julius. That's why we need to have men. Julius, praise the Lord, Pastor Julius. Ignorance of the law is not an excuse. Have you ever been stopped by a policeman and said, oh, what's your name today? Come here, you're going to see my Kenya. Oh, officer, please, please, please. And you even want to cry. They'll tell you, ignorance of the law is not an excuse. Pokeat kiti ndalipa. That's how we make our money here. Okay? So you need to know some things. But when it comes to you and you have no ability, tell the Lord, Lord, I'm making this decision. You know that you didn't give me enough ability to counteract the CFR of this nation. Therefore, back it up. Deal with the CFR. I believe God has the greatest CFR in heaven to counteract his state, CFR of America. Amen? Let the CFR of heaven deal with the CFR of this planet here. CFR, Code of Federal Regulations. We have Code of Heavenly Regulations that counteracts anything that would come against us. Amen? You've been given power and authority over every scheme of darkness. You shall step on snakes. You shall step on scorpions. And the Bible says, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Stand on that. That is the code of heavenly regulation. Tell the devil, this is what my CHR says, that I will step on you. I will step on your head. And nothing shall by any means hurt me. And you move forward. God is backing you because you're proclaiming his word. Are you listening? It's very, very important for you to understand this. Okay? All right. John 1, and I'm concluding. We shall just read. We are not even going to explain it. I thought that was very, very important for us to know. John 15, verse number 1. Listen to what the Bible says. I'm just going to read. It says, I am, this is now Jesus. In fact, if in your Bible, Jesus' words are written in red, almost that whole chapter is written in red because these are Jesus' words. This is him who is saying, and he says this, John 15, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he, in other words, the gardener, he takes away. Are you listening to that? And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of it. Come on, finish it for me. As a branch cannot bear fruit of its of itself. You cannot do these things by yourself. There's no way you can develop all these virtues. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, the life-giving Spirit of Jesus that is working it in your heart. You cannot do it by yourself. You have to surrender to the working of the Holy Spirit so that he can do and accomplish these things in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. And he says, he concludes by saying on verse number 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Hallelujah. If anyone does not abide in me, in other words, if you're not connected to God, if you're not connected to the life-giving Spirit, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire and it shall be done for you. By this, verse number 8, the Bible says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you'll be my disciples. Amen. Amen. The whole secret about everything we've been talking about, and as I sit down right now and invite Pastor Julius, is to know that we are connected with God. We cannot afford not to be connected with God. For all these godly virtues that is working in us, some of them are defensive tools that we have when we face challenges and things that we face. And see, the Bible says that when you are in me and my words abide in you, that means when you know that word that calls you a more than a conqueror, that when you say that I step on a snake and nothing shall by any means, it is already in you, it is percolated and is stamped all over your body, and you know it, then you know it, that God for sure, nothing shall by any means hurt you in spite of the challenges that you face. You will be able to face your challenges because of what he has done in you. See, he is the one who is doing these things in you. He is equipping you and giving you tools to fight this fight, and so that you may know who you are as a child of God. Amen. This year we shall bear much fruits. Fruits of righteousness. Fruits that will bring joy. Fruits that will, when we look at whatever we have accomplished, we'll say, why not for God who did this thing? Huh? If God was never involved in my life. See, the things that he does in our lives. God will bring challenges so that you may trust him. Because he knows as a child of God, it is not if. It is a question of when those other challenges are going to come. Sometimes they will come to you back to back and you wonder, kwani mimi ni, kwani I've become the job of the present day job. The one who was, even before he did this, these things happened. Even before he did this, the other thing, kwani, am I the job of Dallas? Or am I the job of Arlington? That's where you live. Am I the job of Richardson? Am I the job of McKinney? Huh? Am I the job of, where you stay? Where is that? Huh? Irving, Texas? No. Keller. Am I the job of Keller? Hey, at everything is just coming back to back. The thing is, God is equipping us so that even when you come, you're able to face your challenges. Challenges will always be there. But when you know that who your maker is, you will say, I'm making this decision right now. And I am moving forward. God, back it up. And he's going to back it up. Amen? Praise the Lord. Stand on your feet. In Jesus' name. Lift up your right hand right now as we pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we are honoring you this time. Lord, we thank you because of what you did in us. 2,000 years ago, Lord, you bore our shame. And Father, so that we would be free. It is for freedom that you have set us free, O Lord. And Lord, unless you really inspire and stamp this word in us, and create an awareness of who we are, Lord, and what your Spirit is doing in us to re-equip us so that we can face our challenges, we will never understand it. But Holy Spirit of the living God, may you make clear this word. Let this word not be stolen by the devils of hell, because this is strength to us. This is more than the ability that we may have. Knowing that when we face different various forms of challenges and when we encounter various trials and temptations, that Lord, you're working all these things for our good to rescue us out of the plot of the enemy. And I thank you, Father, because your word has promised us that we are more than conquerors. Lord, are you not the one who opened up the servant of Elisha when they were surrounded by armies from every side? And when the servant was so worried that they saw men and men were on horses and surrounding them, wanting to fight them. But when you opened up his eyes, he saw a different picture. He saw a different scene. He saw a different panorama. He saw chariots of fire that surrounded them everywhere on the mountains. Lord, I pray that God, you shall open up our eyes, that in spite of the challenges that we encounter, that we shall see the chariots of fire that surround us, oh God, that surround our children, that surround our circumstances, that surround our family, that surround our careers, that surround our businesses, that surround our family, that surround our marriage, that surround everything that concerns us. Open up our eyes, Lord. Ah, sovereign Lord, open up our eyes that we may see that there are more that are fighting for us than those that are against us. Lord, I pray that you shall cause us to surrender to the working of the Holy Spirit, that he may continue to work, perfecting these virtues of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit in us, in the name of Jesus. The Bible has concluded by telling us that it gives you glory when we bear much fruit. That is our portion this year. Bearing much fruit. Bearing much fruit. Bearing much fruit. And you shall be glorified. If there be any need, Lord, in our midst, Father, you know it. Everything lays bare before you. Father God, I ask you kindly, sir, come down, Lord, and meet with that need now in the name of Jesus. Whatever problem that is beyond the ability of the person, I pray that you may intervene right now in the name of Jesus. It doesn't matter how big it is. The Bible tells me, for with God, everything is possible. Father God, we commit it to you. Work it out, Father, the way you've worked out situations and things in my life in the name of Jesus, and be glorified. Lord, I pray that this week will be a great week. And you shall bless your children. You shall open up their eyes to see great things that are ahead of them. In the name of Jesus, we declare that we shall be progressive. We declare that we shall not stagnate. We shall not be dwelling, going around one area. But you shall help us so that we can leap a leap of faith to where you are calling us into. I pray this in Jesus' name. Someone who loves him, shout a big amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Give him a hand of praise. Glory to God.